Chapter 3. Get in the car, loser. When Sam tried to pinpoint just when and where his life had veered off into crazy territory, past the point of normal life return, he usually placed the moment at the exact second when he decided to let a dirty and battered and on the run Captain America and Black Widow into his house. On sleepless nights, lacking anything better to occupy his mind with, he liked to argue with himself about it, though. Like, maybe that wasn't it. Maybe he could have let them in, given them breakfast and a place to clean up, then sent them on their way. Maybe instead the moment was when he pulled his EXO-7 file out and offered to help them take down Insight. Except, no, that could still have just been Sam doing his patriotic duty. No, maybe it was when he decided robbing Fort Meade to get his wings back was a reasonable thing to do, or getting back in the air to take out one of the helicarriers, or helping Steve with a search for the Winter Soldier, formerly known as James Buchanan Barnes. Nah, said the voice of Riley in his head. It was when your crazy ass got read into an experimental program to stick wing jetpacks on a pararescue and decided, yeah, you wanted a piece of that dangerous-as-hell action. And maybe the memory of Riley wasn't so wrong about that. Now, Sam thought, no, none of those moments were it. Those were just the appetizers, the last mile markers before the exit to Crazy Town. And when he got off that exit, it headed straight into a Hydra operation hidden in an old mine where fucking undead Nazis were shambling around, and where the Winter Soldier's mask got ripped off to reveal Sam and Steve's ill-advisedly mustached math teacher neighbor. That was when Sam had realized that shit was weird, and it was only ever going to get weirder from there. Hilariously and infuriatingly unexpected undercover math teacher situation aside, Sam was still the least emotionally compromised person available, and someone had to make sure Barnes wasn't more assassin than mild-mannered high school professor. Plus, as the only thing approaching a medical and mental health professional available, he couldn't help but feel a little responsible for making sure Barnes was okay, or as okay as he could be. So Sam gathered the tattered shreds of his Winter Soldier Bucky Barnes-related plans together. From what Barnes had said so far, he was dealing all right, but Sam worried that there was a deep hole of not at all okay that Barnes could trip into at any time. While Steve was off showing Natasha the zombie mine, Sam was going to take this opportunity to have some real talk with Barnes.
"So, you seem very sane," said Sam,
while Barnes was doing some teacher shit at the kitchen table.
"Thank you," said Barnes solemnly. "I worked very hard on that."
Sam honestly couldn't tell if he was joking or not.
"Worked very hard on seeming sane or on being sane?"
Barnes tilted his head, looked off into the middle distance in a considering sort of way.
"One sort of followed from the other."
Yeah, that was maybe fair. Fake it till you make it and all. Sam had done his fair share of that.
"Listen, real talk, you have been through some shit. I used to be a peer counselor at the VA, talk to vets about, you know, their shit. And you are way beyond my pay grade, but I have to ask, how are you handling all this?"
The expression on his face stayed bland, but Barnes's shoulders went tense.
"All this? The unimaginable amounts of torture and memory wiping and being brainwashed into killing people. Also navigating the future. And Steve."
"I don't want to talk about the unimaginable amounts of torture and memory wiping and being brainwashed into killing people," said Barnes in a flat voice.
"Future's fine. I read a lot. Steve's great."
Barnes's face softened into a bright-eyed little smile at the mention of Steve, which Sam was maybe a little touched by, but the relevant part of this answer was the first sentence.
"Yeah, I know you don't want to talk about it, and who the fuck would? But you ought to talk about it with somebody."
"Who?"
"Not me," said Sam automatically. "But a therapist or a psychologist."
Barnes shook his head.
"Who would believe me? And I can't talk about... no. Listen, I just need to know you haven't spackled over a yawning void of crazy with a thin veneer of functioning. You're not with Hydra. You're not murdering people left and right. That's great. Those are genuine fucking accomplishments.
But Steve thinks the sun shines out of your ass, and he might want you to be okay more than you actually are okay. So tell me, right after those zombie mines, you said you'd spent the past couple of years dealing with your trauma amnesia bullshit. How have you been dealing?
Barnes set his pen down and looked Sam in the eye, calm and even, but there was pain there too, deep and ragged.
I waited some of it out. My head was a fucking mess right after Insight. I went to ground, holed up until the withdrawal from the drugs Hydra had me on passed. Then some of my memories started coming back, but it was all, everything happening all at once. No context. And it hurt. I don't...
Now Barnes's eyes went distant, and he frowned.
I can't tell you what happened then. I don't know. Everything hurt. I had a lot of seizures, probably. I think everything was rearranging in here, trying to heal from all the wipes. I could feel it, like when my bones healed or... Anyway, my head was clearer after that.
And you just rode that out? Alone? Jesus, man, you should have been in a hospital.
Right, doctors, medical, that's gone well for me, said Barnes with a glare. I managed, and I tried to work past the Hydra bullshit to remember.
Barnes was wringing his hands now, breathing a little fast.
I don't think I can,
he said, then cut himself off, swallowed hard.
Hey, take a minute, said Sam as gently as he could. You don't have to. This can wait, all right? I'm not forcing you here. We can talk more later.
Though Sam wasn't sure they needed to talk more, he was getting the picture pretty well. Sam and Steve had spent the better part of 2 years trying to find Barnes, and they'd considered a lot of possibilities for just what Barnes was up to while he was on the run. It wasn't much of a surprise to find out that Barnes had spent a good portion of that time dragging himself out of hell, then clawing out of what amounted to his own grave after that. He got why Barnes had done it on his own, but it made Sam's heart hurt to think of. Too many vets had to go through shit like this alone, and they ended up on the streets, or worse. Sam had tried dealing alone, after Riley. It hadn't gone well.
I don't know what you want me to talk about. I know what they did to me, and I know what I did, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do but try and bear all of that and live with it. Try to fix what I can, try to be safe. That's all I've been doing. Does that count as okay? I don't know.
Barnes's voice had gone low and shaky, but he got all the words out, and now he was blinking fast, staving off tears. He was shaking a little too, like he had when he tried to tell Steve and Sam why he didn't want to fight anymore. It made Sam want to hug him, take hold of his hands, something, anything to steady Barnes. That probably wouldn't be well received from anyone but Steve, though. Instead, Sam just said,
"Yeah, I think that counts, Barnes."
Barnes nodded, clenched his eyes shut, and breathed in and out, still too fast, but clearly trying to calm down. Sam set the pace with deep breaths of his own, hoping Barnes would hear and follow, and they breathed together like that until Barnes had steadied.
"I'm sorry,"
said Barnes eventually.
"What for?"
asked Sam, genuinely confused. He was the one who'd pushed Barnes, knowing he might upset him.
"Those times I tried to kill you, wrecking your wings, and your car."
"You weren't exactly yourself. I think I can forget. Wait, my car? What did you do to my car? I swear to God, Barnes, if your bullshit grandma-style parallel parking means you ding my car."
No, I meant the, steering wheel on the freeway thing, I think. I don't remember that so great. They wiped me right after, but I think I wrecked your car."
"Oh, right, that."
Yeah, Sam generally tried not to think about that, on account of it being a nightmare scenario out of the world's worst Fast and Furious movie. He narrowed his eyes at Barnes.
"What is it with you and wrecking my cars?"
"I haven't wrecked your current car, Jesus Christ. You park like a millimeter away from the bumper."
"Uh-huh, but I don't hit the bumper, do I?"
"You owe me a car," declared Sam.
"Yeah, I do. Want to go buy one? I have access to a lot of Hydra blood money. I can get you a really nice car."
Sam held his fist out for a fist bump.
"Yeah, go get that money, Barnes."
Barnes fist bumped back. Steve might get all disapproving about it, but as far as Sam was concerned, Hydra's ill-gotten gains were fair game, and Barnes of all people deserved to do what he wanted with the money.
"Well, we got a cover to maintain, though. Can't be getting a Lamborghini or something."
"They have nice new all-electric cars, don't they? Those aren't too flashy."
Shit, Barnes was serious.
"How are you planning on paying for this?
Yeah, Hydra money, got that. But, like, are we gonna roll up with a suitcase full of cash? We gotta stay low profile.
Give me a few days to move some money around, said Barnes. And then Steve was at the door with Natasha, and Sam figured that was the last he'd hear about a new car. That was not the last Sam heard about getting a new car. Natasha and Steve were making a lot of calls, trying to get an op set up to take out Strucker, and Sam was at loose ends, so he figured he'd make their lawn look a little more respectable. The old lady a few houses down had been giving them disapproving glares for the past week, and their cover did not need a nosy old lady telling them to mow their admittedly scraggly lawn. Sam was halfway done when Barnes rolled up in his utterly forgettable Corolla, rolled down the window, and said,
"Get in, loser, we're going car shopping."
"What?
I owe you a card, don't I? Come on, we're going to go buy one."
"Okay, first of all, when the hell did you watch Mean Girls? Second of all..."
Sam didn't have a second of all. He would really like a nice new car. It would probably get wrecked in some superhero shenanigans, but hey, free car.
Barnes raised his eyebrows over his douchey aviators, waiting for the second of all.
"I don't have a second of all," admitted Sam, and got in the car.
"So, know what kind of car you want?"
"What's my budget here?"
"Anything under 100,000. That's all I moved into the account for this," said Barnes.
"That's insane."
"You said nothing flashy, I know, but..."
Barnes shrugged.
"I did wreck your wings, too."
"You gonna buy me a plane?"
Barnes didn't skip a beat. "Do you want a plane?"
"Not really. I mostly just like flying with the EXO pack."
"Sorry."
"It's all right. Technically, I stole the wings anyway," Sam confessed.
"What?"
"It's not like the Air Force let me keep them when they discharged me. Me, Steve, and Nat stole them from Fort Meade for the whole Insight thing."
Barnes looked weirdly scandalized.
"Steve is such a bad influence. I swear to God."
All the car dealerships were clustered together, so Barnes drove to the general area and let Sam pick one. Like any number of red-blooded American males, too easily swayed by advertising, Sam had in fact put some thought into the car he'd want, if money was no object, so he directed Barnes to the Porsche dealership. Sam stopped Barnes before he got out of the car.
So, how am I paying for this?
Barnes pulled a folded-up check from his pocket. It was a cashier's check for $10,000.
"Here's your down payment. You get whatever financing deal they offer you. Great credit score, by the way.
Wait, what? When did you..."
"And then in a month or two, you, or really I, pay off the whole loan. Cover maintained, no uncomfortable questions."
Okay.
Sam was going to trust that Barnes knew what he was doing. They managed to wander around the lot for a few minutes before a salesman zeroed in on them like a shark.
"Gentlemen, how can I help you?"
Of course, he directed the question to Barnes. Not a great start. Sam narrowed his eyes at the guy. Barnes gave the salesman a polite smile and pointed at Sam.
"He's looking for a new car."
The salesman shifted gears with admirable speed and just about steamrollered Sam with customer service. As tempting as the sports cars and convertibles were, Sam had to be a little more practical, so after a few longing looks at the sexy two-seaters and low-slung sports cars, he directed them over to the SUVs. He was probably going to be carting around a pair of super soldiers and a lot of weaponry for the foreseeable future. A fast SUV seemed like a smart pick. He ended up admiring a sleek, silver one, hybrid gas and electric, with all the fancy upgrades inside.
"Yeah, I want this one. I am going to be pulled over so fucking often, but I want this one."
Barnes tilted his head, brow furrowing in confusion.
"Why would you be pulled over?"
Sam was about to get annoyed, but then he remembered, oh, right, Barnes was from ye olden times, and had amnesia, besides. He maybe hadn't had a chance to catch up to modern race relations.
"Driving while black?"
The salesman laughed uncomfortably, then shut up quick after Sam glared at him.
"Oh,"
said Barnes. Then he peppered the salesman with questions about the car, safety readings and mileage, and once Barnes got to asking about where the damn car was manufactured, Sam cut in and asked for a test drive.
"It's like a spaceship,"
he said in hushed tones as he pulled out of the lot. Barnes made an offended and disgusted noise from the back seat.
"It doesn't fly. Why don't any cars fly?"
he grumbled. Sam glanced in the rearview mirror and saw Barnes fiddling with buttons back there.
"It has heated seats, though. he said in a reverent tone.
"Okay, well, you're clearly going to live in here now,"
muttered Sam. Once he stopped at a light, he turned to the salesman.
"I'll take it, but if signing the paperwork and getting the keys takes any longer than an hour, I'm out."
It took 45 minutes, because Sam's credit really was excellent, and Barnes made judicious use of his dead-eyed winter soldier stare to hurry things along. They got back to the house in time for dinner, and Sam decided to live dangerously and park in the forbidden driveway. Steve and Nat were still holed up in what passed for their command center in Bucky's garage.
"Hey, where have you two been?" asked Steve.
Barnes went over to him to peer over his shoulder at what he was working on, pressing a kiss to his temple on the way. Sam quietly boggled. It had been a little over a week, and Steve and Barnes were already at the old married stage, only with bonus honeymoon glow that could rival a supernova. It was simultaneously heartwarming and unnerving.
"I bought Sam a new car," said Barnes.
"What?" Steve twisted around to look at them both. Barnes gave Steve a guileless look.
"I owed him a car." "Yeah, Steve, he owed me a car. Remember, DC, freeway, the violent removal of my entire steering column by Terminator over here?"
"Is the bank of justly reappropriated Hydra funds and buying forgiveness open? Because if so, I have some requests," said Natasha.
"If your requests cost about $10,000, then yes."
Natasha made a disappointed noise. "You can't buy much hookers and blow with that at all." Steve rolled his eyes while Sam and Barnes snickered, and they all trooped outside to admire Sam's excellent new car. Steve and Natasha made the appropriate, appreciative comments, and Nat examined every nook and cranny. "You're going to have to let me make some security modifications," she said. Then, ooh, heated seats. Sam looked over at Barnes, who was relaxed and amused as he watched Steve and Natasha examine the car. Steve had a look on his face stuck between being impressed and disapproving of the indulgent purchase. Looked like some Depression-era instincts rearing up. Barnes hadn't blinked at any of the expense, though, so either he really didn't give a damn how Hydra money got spent, or amnesia and brainwashing had wiped out any adherence to self-deprivation. "I should offer some positive reinforcement for this attempt at making amends for the past," thought Sam. Also, a tiny part of Sam thought maybe this car was worth those moments of pants-shitting terror on the freeway.
"Thanks, Barnes," Sam said quietly.
"You're welcome," Barnes answered. Then he breathed out a barely there laugh, though his eyes were sad.
"This was an easy thing to make right. None of the rest of it is."
"You're doing all right, Barnes, really."
Barnes gave him a tired smile.
"Call me Bucky when we don't have to keep up the cover. My name is Bucky."
It was a wholly different introduction to the one they'd had a couple of months ago, when Sam had barely paid any attention to neighbor Jack, and more different still from the violence that had passed for their first meeting. Sam liked this one a lot better.
"Nice to meet you, Bucky Barnes,"